And we're rolling. Episode 42 of the Moto 247 show. I'm Ezra Henry. We got Dean Taylor in here in the studio for the first time. And we're getting going after a really good round of Supercross, round two in San Diego.
Yeah, the new Snapdragon Stadium.
I know, everyone was talking about the new stadium. It was really good. Like, I was honestly a little disappointed at first. It wasn't in Petco Park. Like, I just like baseball fields, mm-hmm. or baseball stadiums, I mean, because just they're bigger and the track layouts are more unique and stuff. But honestly, like, I was pissed going into the round, seeing everything. But right when the heat race started, I honestly really enjoyed the racing. Like, the racing was really good.
Yeah, especially in the 450 class and everything. That was some good, intense racing and well needed after the extra week off that we weren't anticipating.
Like, that sucks so bad. Like, in December, you know, for all of us Moto fans, we got to wait for A1 and it sucks. But once it's finally here, we just, you know, it's like we're an addict to Supercross. We get one round, then that weekend off really sucked last week. But I was really looking forward to San Diego. And it, like I said, it was really good racing. And the track was pretty good to where, you know, allowed people to just not, you know, hold one line, and which I noticed in the previous rounds, like a little bit in A1, but they had a lot of ruts. But going back to the last year, it was just, I don't know, just there wasn't that many barbing and, you know, motos. But I was really happy with that, and it really sucked for the 250 class with Jack getting the win of just not even, you know, having anyone challenge him. But RJ did put in a really good ride, though.
Yeah, I was really hoping Enzo could, like, muscle out his first podium finish or something, but I think he ended up fourth. But
I know. I was rooting for him so hard. Like, he looked so good.
Yeah, no, he's, like, looking really incredible. And, like, I think it's at this point with him, it's more of, like, a confidence-building thing, like, each week, like, figuring out, like, he's just got to believe in, like, okay, you know, I'm a top three qualifier every week, and now I finish fourth, but I'm a podium guy. And then before that, like, I almost could maybe even see him, like, somehow pressuring Jet for some wins.
Yeah, like, he looked really comfortable. Like, I think last year, he might have been up front or towards the front, like, not in the lead pack, but he still just, he would drop down a little bit, but he still looked really good, but he looked really competitive this time. And even with Hampshire, like, it was really difficult for Hampshire to get him. And, yeah, he looked really good.
Yeah, I'm excited to, like, because I feel like him, he's somebody throughout the season, you're going to almost see him race by race. You're going to see him, like, his confidence and stamina on everything building, where he's hanging on with the pace longer at the ends of the motos. And because you could really see that time separation where it was only a couple seconds between Jet, RJ, and McAdoo. And then it was, like, a pretty big time drop off in the gap all the way back to Enzo. So I'm, like, looking to really be able to watch him close that gap and stay up there with that front group and prove he's that front group type of guy.
Yeah, like, hopefully, well, him along with everyone else just staying healthy. But as we know, we just hate everyone or seeing everyone get hurt. But like Faulkner, we're talking about earlier at dinner. But yeah, like, Lopes was looking really good, and it's looking like he's building so much progress since last year, and just looking really comfortable. And it was cool where now, like, I was thinking it was just going to be Hampshire, McAdoo, and Lawrence kind of just being up front and having no one challenging them. Like, I guess Brown's in there and stuff. But, now I'm putting Enzo Lopes up there, and where if he gets a start, it's going to be difficult for Hampshire and McAdoo to get around him at least. And even if they do, if Jet gets a hole shot, they're kind of screwed then, you know. Just, they have to really make a quick pass on Enzo, but... Yeah, he looked really good, and.
Yeah, I was going to, like, touch on, like, how they had the week off. I think that was, like, how it sucked for us. I was, like, because I was talking with Emma throughout the week, I'm like, I bet having that extra week off helped a lot of those guys that had the, like, even, well, it seemed like a lot of guys got banged up really quick at Anaheim 1. So having that extra week off to, like, regroup and get healthy again and kind of get rejuvenized here, like, there were a lot of them were maybe kind of thinking they're lucky stars. Even, like, Pierce Brown, like, him having that extra week off after hurting his tailbone, like, I don't think he would have been at Oakland, but having that extra week off now, he hasn't missed a round.
Yeah, and especially, like, Roczen, too. I'm like, this is huge for him because he looked really good. He ended up dropping back late in the moto in A1, but yeah, this week he had that pace throughout the whole main, and it just looked like he made a lot of progress, and I don't think people realize how much time he had on that bike. Like, he hardly had... What, not even a month on it before A1?
Yeah, there's a Larry Brooks interview kicking around somewhere that I've heard about from some of my friends and stuff. I really need to listen to it because it sounds like he really paints a really good picture of, like, the chaos, because like you said, he had less than a month. But on top of that, like the hoops that his team had to jump through to like creating that new team without with that wasn't affiliated with Twisted, that wasn't affiliated with Twisted Tea, just so Kenny could ride the bike because of his Red Bull sponsorship. Like all the crazy chaos that team had to work out in such a short period of time is insane. Like, and even too, like from this Larry Brooks interview, it sounds like he's like almost 1 foot out the door, like ready to retire. He's like tired of like having such a big, so much stress and responsibility on his shoulders. And yep. Then stuff like this pops up and he's like, well, I can't say no.
Like, yeah, like that team was really popular last year. And yeah, going into this season, I'm really surprised they pulled it off of what they're doing right now, like you said, because they have a really good program going on and having like two separate teams sort of deal. And honestly, I'm really excited for that whole team. You got Marshall Walton over there. We'll see on the East Coast. I think he's on the progressive side of it.
I don't
know. Not like it matters, but
even like Shane McElrath too, like said how much stuff they did in a short period of time, because Shane was another last minute add to their roster too, which is how much they did in such a short period of time. It's almost what you would think with like a team that has less support than like a Star or a HRC or something. Like, it's crazy.
And people too, like I see people on Instagram saying, well, there's probably hundreds of thousands of dollars in those bikes and they have access to anything they want. But from what I'm seeing, it seems like they don't, because Suzuki's kind of out of it. Where Honda, like you, let's say you're, when Geico is still going, they had the factory Honda guys they can bank off of for info or to get parts or for anything that, you know, help improve their team. But with the Twisted Tea team, it's like, I don't think Suzuki is that like much involved with the program. Besides, like, I don't even know how much they're funding it, let alone providing any helpful technology or anything to the race team. So, and I think that's what a lot of people don't realize. Like, there's probably obviously a ton of money in that bike that Kenny's riding, but it's like the motors are done by Twisted, which is
it's not a factory thing.
Yeah, it's not a factory thing. But what's his face over there at Twisted? Sure, that's gonna kill me. I forgot his name, but I hear he does a killer job. Well, so those bikes are always ripping, but
isn't he doing the Club MX ones?
Yeah, he's doing
look
Club.
Look at the starts Enzo's been, even Enzo and Phil, they like look at those starts they're getting against. That was insane starts this last weekend.
Yeah, they really put the big middle finger, the FU up to Star Racing.
Yeah.
They're up there in the heat race and the main event. And
yeah, they both got incredible starts.
And I was waiting for a joke because I see all those memes about FXR getting only screen time in the LCQs. And, you know, they got screen time in the heat races and the main event. But yeah, but the Club MX team is doing really good with the Twisted. Yeah. And then well, sorry, this freaking headphones are still bugging me. If you guys don't know, we got a new setup, and I think I mentioned it last week, but we got headphones now, and it's my second time, so I should be used to it. But Dean's killing it over here. Not even, what are we, 8 minutes into it? And this has been screwing me up for like the last 5 minutes. It's really, really nice, but it's also screwing me up. But anyways, getting back to what we're talking about. Yeah, with that Twisted team, it's not like a full-on factory support. So just to see what they're doing with what they have and the amount of resources they have, like I can't even imagine what it took to get Kenny, let alone like what you're saying of trying to get the whole program going to where they have the progressive X-Star Suzuki and then the Twisted Tea team. And I think the bikes are very similar. What's it just... Renthal's on Kenny's team, then Mika Metals. I heard or I saw staying on the previous or on the other team. I mean, but yeah, it's just I was really blown away. Like, it was what late December when McElrath signed with them, and then Chisholm signed with them. But it sounds like he rode the bike before Kenny even rode it. So you know, before it was made public. But yeah, I'm just really loving what they're doing, and. I don't know. I'm really rooting for him. I don't know about all you guys, but I'm really rooting for him. And Suzuki used to be like a badass brand. Like they were always killing it when I was growing up. And to see them struggle so much lately and pretty much die, like they're on their like last leg right now. And if they can, like,
dude, they almost got a heat race win this weekend, man. I thought like, Kenny was so close to pulling off the heat race win, but Malcolm, like at least in the heat and even qualifying, he was on another level. So nothing that Kenny did, but Kenny pulled the whole shot on the Suzuki. And like was, you know, what, two laps away from winning.
I was looking at that time clock the whole time, and I love Malcolm, I love Kenny, but I'm like, come on, Kenny! Like I was rooting for him. Like I was the only one at my house, like screaming at the TV, like rooting for him. And I was hoping he'd get that win, but Malcolm just came out of nowhere. Like, he surprised me. He just came up like a bat out of hell, coming out of nowhere and catching up and getting that win. Really unfortunate night for him, though. Another freaking wreck. And you see his crash? He had like two similar crashes almost, like flipping over the bars.
Yeah, well,
the same as last week.
I couldn't believe how close his crash resembled Chase's crash. Like, in the whoops, Malcolm's like, that was a really, it was funny, like, how similar those crashes were between those two.
Yeah, those were, like, really awkward crashes, too. And I never seen a gas tank look like that either.
No, dude.
That was mangled, man.
I was cracking up because I put my fantasy picks in, like, earlier, I think on, like, Thursday. I put my fantasy picks in really quick just in case I didn't want to forget. And then it came to the night show, and I made a couple little changes, but I didn't put Mookie in any of my picks. And I was kind of kicking myself because he qualified fastest and stuff. And then especially after the heat race, I was like, man, I really should have put Malcolm in my top five. And then he crashed like right there at the beginning of the race. And I was like, oh, thank God I didn't put him in there.
I think I put him in there. Let me look real quick. But
and then I had Chase in there. And so as soon as Barsha knocked Chase over. Well, real quick before we get like too far into the 450s. I wanted to mention something about the 250 race that, like, I'm like kind of patting myself on the back for calling it, but Max Volin, how I was like saying last week, how like he's really just hasn't done anything on the team, and then not even making it in the main, like crappy start in the LCQ when he's on a factory KTM, like that should be the easiest hole shot he gets all year in a 250 LCQ, battles his way up, gets in there. And then, like, they still, like, said they never even really showed a replay to show what happened and why he jumped off that lane. They never even, too, like, did you see how hard he looked like he hit that track worker?
Yeah, like, I caught that out of the corner of my eye. I was staring at I have this huge TV, and I was just, like, standing a foot in front of it, just watching the LCQ. And at the corner of my eye, I just see him smoke on. Like, I wish they would have replayed that because
I want to know if that guy.
I feel bad for that guy. Like,
he's right. If he got, like, a foot peg to the thigh, oh, man. Like, we saw what that did to Dean Wilson.
Oh, my God. Yeah, his ass was mangled.
he got an extra hole.
It was at 4 inches deep. Oh, my God. And not like that guy's some, you know, bigger guy. Like, oh, like that hurt. And I saw someone online was saying that they were there near that area where that track worker or the medical crew guy got absolutely nailed. And they said it looked really bad in person. And he was, like, really slow to get up.
At least he got up, man. That's scary.
Like, yeah.
But yeah, so like I'm like, man, like Max Volin, like this kid pisses me off. He's only 19, so like I mean, he's still really young, but man, like, you know, he's got like arguably the best ride and he is just not doing anything with it. He's just like reassuring my case of like he needs to get a reality check or something, you know. Like, I want to see him do well, but he just keeps making these mistakes and not proving himself. He can't.
Well, isn't he in like a contract year right now? Because
I think that's what we were talking about last podcast, and that's when I was like, man, like he really needs to do something this year. Like, you know, it's time to shit or get off the pot.
Because right now for KTM, it's like if they move on from him, who are they gonna sign though?
That's what I was like saying, like somebody like Hunter Yoder, which I mean, like he's not really doing great rides, but there's other kids in my opinion that are deserving, you know. And like I'll bring up like Brock Tickle to argue my case, like somebody like him who was racing and was, you know, being consistent, but he was nowhere near a top guy, gets a PC ride, and like that year gets a title. Like, it's happened before where it's like just been such a huge confidence boost for a guy. So like, you know, even like shoot, like look at Enzo Lopes. Like, he's already been on Red Bull KTM as an amateur. Like, it was Red Bull Brazil, but then he was a KTM Orange Brigade or whatever. Like, you're not telling me that they might not come knocking on his door after the season if he keeps getting top fours all year.
Yeah, like, I think he has the talent, too, and just hearing people that are close to him, like, it sounds like the dude just has insane amount of talent, and he can do way better than what he's been doing the last couple of years, and yeah. I almost feel like that, like, the whole generation, I know he came in late over the States, but later in, I think he was on 85s, but that whole generation of him, Sean Cantrell, too, it's been a rough last couple of years for him.
Is he even still racing?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I know he got hurt last year. I don't know if he called it quits or what. Like, I haven't seen anything in a while, but I could have swore he stopped. But you guys probably
even like Josh Osby, because I was wondering that too. I was asking a couple of people if Josh Osby still racing.
I don't know. We should ask Joey if he comes on here. We're supposed to have Joey Crown on.
Josh should be somebody that we could easily get to call in and be on the podcast too. Like even if he's not racing, and I still see him reposting stuff all the time. Like he still follows the sport insanely close. Like he would even just be good knowledge. You know, another good dude to help report on what's going on.
Yeah, and even going back to last year when he lost his ride at the Phoenix Honda team, then Marshall Welton gave him a bike. Where was that? No, that wasn't Detroit. Where else was that? I don't know. It was an East Coast round. I thought he did pretty good when he just, you know, hopping on his buddy's bike and doing really good. But I guess we'll find that out here in a second if Joey ever calls in. He probably texted me, and I probably just didn't see it right now. Oops. We'll get that figured out here soon. See if I didn't leave him on red. Okay, but
I didn't mean you want to talk more about the 450s. Like I said, that was the only thing I could think to add to the 250s. Like, I mean, everybody did pretty good. I mean, like Styles Robertson, like he's showing some flashes of speed. Even like Levi was showing some flashes of speed, but he end up going down pretty hard.
Yeah, it really sucks for him. Yeah, going down in that start with Harrison.
Yeah,
and Harrison's been doing good in the last little while, and it really sucks to see him go down as well.
Like Levi was showing some really fast speed in his heat race, and then I said he went down hard. Like it was like almost like a replay of Austin's crash, like off of like, you know, Forkner's crash. So hopefully he's okay, because man, like he was really showing some really good sprint speed in the heat race.
Yeah, and yeah, a couple of guys looked really good though, where it could have been a lot different of a race, I believe, but just the way that things played out really sucked. But you know, Jet just got the start and pulled away, and hopefully next week RJ can get a better start. And because I feel like Jet, we all know Jet's incredibly talented and really fast and everything, but if RJ can get up there, and he looked really fast, and I know last week he said he rode a lot smarter. Normally he's like all balls to the wall, hauling and wrecking everywhere, like we see almost like every outdoor race, and most likely supercrosses too. But I don't know, he just looked really good on that track last week, to where if he can get a good start, just to be up there and bang bars with Lawrence and at least try to hold him up a little bit, and you know, trying to make a more competitive race, to where Jet's just not out there with a 4-second lead just taking a freaking joyride. But yeah, and going back to that KTM ride, I don't know. I'm just looking at the results right now, and obviously there's a lot of guys that are out since the race in the East Coast, but like even if you had like a guy like Mitchell Oldenburg, like he's been solid. And it's kind of different now because you got the teams that are really good, like Club, then you got the Fire Power Honda team that are, they're not a factory team, but the bikes seem really good. So I guess we'll see if we see riders leave from those teams to go up and, you know, sign a factory deal. But because I know Marchbanks got signed to a longer contract, I believe.
With Club?
Yeah, I think that was announced a couple weeks ago. Then, yeah, I guess we'll see what happens with Loebs. But it'd be really cool to see someone like Loebs or Oldenburg. I know he's getting up there, and I'm not sure how much years of racing he has left, but he's a really solid rider. But him, or even I'm looking at Derek Kelly right now, like ninth place, but I don't know, like Volin shows he has the speed, but just so things aren't going right for the kid.
Oh, it's like, and like, you know, I feel like you hear people talk about it more and more. It's almost like that, like just the mental side of it, I feel like, is what he's battling with, you know, like almost not feeling like he belongs there or something, you know, which is sad because unlimited amount of talent, like, you know, that's why he's got the Red Bull KTM ride. He just needs to believe.
Yeah, that sucks. And I've heard Forkner last year, what was it, after the Foxborough, when he had, or just saying that, you know, he finally, you know, has the confidence to know he belongs up there. And I'm sitting there like on the couch, I'm like, I'm just thinking of a couple years ago when he was that complete badass, when he was rocking the number 24 on the PC Kawasaki and yeah, winning almost every race. Like when Sexton won his two titles, you could argue and say that Forkner should have won them, you know? Oh. And he was the better rider back then, and I remember him saying somehow the better rider didn't win the title that year, and I don't know, I was like, that's kind of a dick thing to say, but I thought it was true. But, you know, since then, the cards played out to where obviously Sexton is one hell of a rider right now and in a lot different of a situation, unfortunately.
I mean, he's still making those stupid little mistakes.
Oh, he's so close. That's ticking me off. I'm a huge Sexton fan, and everyone that I know seems to love him at least. And sounds like a really good kid. And I'm thinking, I'm like, he's what, my age? So he's 23. I'm like, that's not that young. Like, it is, but if you go back to, like, Roczen or something, but I guess Roczen, like, got on a big bike. Wasn't he, like, 12 when he got on a 250F? Like, insane. But I remember going to Red Bud. I believe it was 2014. Don't quote me, but I think he was 19 that year, in his rookie year on the 450, on the Red Bull KTM. And I remember watching him, and he was up there battling for the win. I don't know if he won that weekend, but he was up there, like, a top contender. And he was only 19 years old, the same age as, you know, Jet right now. But where now it's like, I don't know, I keep on feeling that Chase is young, but he's 23 years old, which he's, you know, he should be in the prime of his career. So we can see if he can pull it together. But the guys that are in the age bracket of like Anderson and Tomac and Barsha, those guys are, you know, nearing 30 and they're killing it still. So
right,
they're just making it really tough. But if Sexton can just, you know, not make those dumb mistakes, which it's easier said than done, right? Not being in that situation, but like things would be a lot different. But we'll see how that plays out this year too, and if he just with Adam Cincirillo as well, and that's a different story with him, I guess. Just him, I think his goal should just be to stay healthy. And
yeah, man, that was a solid ride for him last week. I mean, he's like slowly improving, like getting really good starts, like holding that pace up front. You know what I mean? Like I said, just mainly. Said it right now, if you're feeling a little bit like over your head or something, just back her down and bring it in and just have a good, clean, consistent ride. And you know, like I think I've said it before, like, I mean, if you do something like that, I feel like that's in for somebody like Adam Cesarillo, if he just gets a good start and rides consistent and safe, that's an, like, he could luck himself into a top five.
Yeah, and there's no need to go over your head and and ride, especially when you have a history of having insane injuries and being banged up all the time, which just really sucks for him. Like, I remember being such a fan growing up, watching him. He's a few years older than me, and I remember watching him at Loretto's over the Racer TV app and just seeing him absolutely kill it. Like, I remember guys that got second in the super mini class, and it was almost like they won because Adam was just like, I don't know how far, but like 20, you know, seconds in front of him. I don't know if it was, you know, something like crazy where it was like not even a competitive race, kind of like Jet right now, how it's like, I guess even more so than what Jet's doing right now. But you know, it's just, the kid seemed like he had so much talent, and I don't remember him getting hurt that much at all, you know, racing amateurs until his rookie year when he got hurt. And even then, remember his rookie season? When was that? 2013, 2014? In Detroit? Was it Detroit he got a win? In Dallas or something, he ended up popping his shoulder out. And, you know, since then it's been downhill, but, you know, the guy has so much talent, and I'm super competitive, but like honestly, I'm just rooting for him to just stay on two wheels, and if he can put it inside the top 10, and you know, like you said, if he can luck himself into a top five if he just stays on two wheels and stays clean. But
yeah, like I picked him for my wild card this week, and it was like last lap that Anderson got around him and knocked Adam back to eighth, and Jason got seventh. I was like, like,
that pissed me off so much. I did the same exact thing, and I forgot to make my picks, which I'm really known for. And I forgot to make my picks in A1. I picked Adam, and it was like the last lap, and I'm like, awesome. It was like 3 seconds down to Anderson. I'm like, that's sweet. At least I'm going to get the wild card. I picked like Chase to win. I had a feeling Tomac was, but I'm like, I'll just pick something different. Of course, Chase and obviously win. But I'm like, at least I have Adam in there. Then the final results pop up. I'm like, motherfuck. But I was surprised Anderson got him, but. I really want to know what happened there. If he just,
I mean, Anderson's like on another level, you know, like Anderson's easily a top three guy if he just isn't tipping over. So it's pretty, makes a lot of sense that he'd be able to get around Adam, who seems like Adam's still kind of healing, you know.
Then I love his Twitter comment or Twitter post in the middle of the night show, him calling Barsha a bitch.
Oh, yeah, like
and Barsha afterwards, I got like so many DMs of
that video,
the reactions.
Yeah, like Eli just like almost crying, he's laughing so hard.
Yeah, like was it Eli and
Cooper Webb
and Webb? Yeah, they're just dying.
Yeah,
So we pull it up.
Yeah, like I said, we started talking about those front runner guys. That was a really good race, man. It's a like, even though Eli's making it look so good right now, but that's the thing where it's like he's making it look so easy. To me, they're still exciting races because they just show him up front, and he looks so good. Like all of his lines, he looks so confident. And, like watching him just cut that, how sharp he can cut that bike down in the corners, and like how he made that pass around Cooper Webb for the lead. Like how he just jumped in front of him and still had all the momentum to like make that double and blitz the whoop so fast. Like, and when he's like taking like the shorter, more awkward lines and being just as fast. Eli looks so unreal right now.
I'm like, hopefully this dude don't retire, because I know he's Supercross only, and even his wife saying something that, you know, A1 might have been his last A1.
Yeah, but...
I mean, but what if, you know, like, there was no, you know, guarantees.
If he would just do outdoors, I'd be so stoked. Like then you could top it off, because, man, like, he's just looking so good on the bike right now. It's, like, easy money.
Yeah, I think he should come back for another couple of years. Like, I'm not saying pull Chad Reed and have a super long career, but he looks so good, and his riding style too is just like beautiful. And like, yeah, you said, that pass on Webb, like I watched that today like 10 times, just back to back watching that, and I'm like, this is, it just looks so smoother. I see a lot of guys try to force something that's not there,
right?
But him, that just looks so smooth, where I think a lot of guys, even like hearing Sexton and other riders talk about him, they're like, when Eli's behind you, you know he's not going to clean you out, but not like he's scared to pass anyone. Like he's really efficient in passing people as well.
He got into second so early in the race, and I was like talking to Emma. I'm like, oh, like watch Eli. He's probably gonna give it, you know, 5-10 minutes into the race, and really plan out a pass. But then he uncorked that pass so smooth, or like so quickly, it caught me off guard. I was like, whoa, like that was way sooner. I'm like, he's forcing the pass, but then he just made it look so easy, and you know, checked out where like in comparison to like his young teammate Levi Kitchen in his heat race was like trying like so many ballsy, not planned passes, and was like losing so much time with each like pass attempt, where like Eli, like, you know, he just executed it so cleanly, like first attempt at the pass on Cooper Webb, and just rode his own race. He was gone.
Yeah, I was surprised, and like everyone's talking about that new Yamaha, and we all saw what happened last year with the Huskies and KTMs, and the riders complaining about that, and that was a little awkward to see. You know, normally they're, even if there is issues, you hear people, oh, the bike's fine, blah, blah, blah. It's just me. I need to work better or work harder and get better. But we see everyone saying just the bike was not that good. And you know, they made changes having another year on the bike. But I was really not concerned, but just really curious to see how the new Yamaha was going to be. And especially, you know, since seeing Tomac on the old 22 Yamaha 450 going into the off-season races in Paris and stuff, to where I thought he'd be on it. Well, which he was probably on it way before then, but I thought he'd make the switch at least and be on it and get some races under his belt on it before A1. But I guess he didn't need it at all. But going down, yeah, like even Ferrandis is looking really good too, and that's another rider I was, I feel like he can be up there, but he's kind of been that wild card guy.
His starts suck. That is what's killing him right now.
Isn't it funny? Tomac's getting good starts now. It's like,
yeah,
completely opposite of what he's known for.
Yeah, well, because like Ferrandis has always kind of gotten crappy starts, hasn't he? And like it worked out for him in 250s because the field's so thin that like you can get a crappy start in a 250 Supercross, work your way up front. Or same thing, it worked for Ferrandis in the outdoors because the races are so long.
Yeah, where this year, it's like I'm looking at the results right now, and it's so deep. So many good guys. Like even Christian Craig, like he posted something last week of how he was just so disappointed in his ride.
Sure.
And then this week he ended up 11th this week, started off, qualified 9th, started off 15th. So he got a 15th place start, made his way up to 11th. And then if you look at, you know, the top 10 guys, there's some huge names out there, or pretty much all of them. So it's like if you get a bad start, you're really screwed no matter who you are. Maybe unless you're Tomac, but even then, you know, you're not going to make your way all the way up there. And that's what, like, the last couple of years seeing Tomac before he got the title last year, he still looked incredibly fast, but it's like if you get a 15th place start, there's only so much you can do if there's Cooper Webb or someone like that up front to where, yeah, they're already long gone by the time you even get to the lead pack at all.
Yeah. No, it's funny. This is another one of those things, because Malcolm's getting really good starts and then Christian's not. And same thing. They're on the same equipment, right?
Yeah, same thing.
I mean, like, I think that just even just adds into like how stacked the field is. So, you mean you got all those guys are capable of first place starts, but if you got 10 guys that are capable of first place starts, one of those guys is going to get a 10th place start. So.
Exactly. I think not that many people realize that, like hearing people like, well, so-and-so just needs to train on their starts and stuff. I'm like, I'm sitting back thinking like, yeah, but, well, obviously everyone probably needs to get practice in the starts and get better. But my whole point is like, there's so many guys, like what you just said, that are amazing at starts. Like if they go up against anyone that, I don't like any amateurs or some like,
yeah,
which amateurs I guess are capable of getting good starts, but yeah, like just goes to show like they probably get a whole shot every time.
Yeah, except for Max Volin on a Red Bull Factory KTM and an LCQ against privateer bikes. He's not going to pull a start.
Yeah, that was just a bummer to see it.
Like, what a loser.
I was just honestly really rooting for the kid. And then he smokes a medic.
Do you remember Corey Slavik?
Yeah.
Like he was a top like Michigan guy like in their early, mid-2000s. I did a riding class with him when I was on the 80s, and I remember him like telling us like how to charge a corner, and he was just, you know, joking around. He's got a bunch of like 12-year-old kids he's given lessons to on our 80s. I said he was a top A rider in Michigan at the time. And I remember him telling me, he's like, just imagine there's a girl with big boobs in that corner right there and you are going to go get her. And I'm like, that's what somebody needs to tell Max, that. And he needs to charge the corner, like get that better start in the LCQ. Like there's a girl with big boobs in that first corner. Go get her.
I'll bet. Maybe he needs some advice like that, because yeah, something's not working.
That's the Joey Crown rider tip of the week.
Yeah. That's Joey typing right now.
he's like, I heard that one, guys. That's a good one. I'm going to add that to my book.
Oh, what's he saying? Oh, yeah, he can jump on right now.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just messaging him back. Sorry, guys. I should be calling in a second, but yeah, Joey wasn't Joey Crown. We got some more segments coming that the podcast is going to be a lot better. And that's gonna start off one of the segments is charging hard, because picturing a girl. What do you say? A picture of a girl with big boobs.
Yeah, make a picture. There's a girl with big boobs standing in that corner right now, and you got to be the first guy to get her, or else she's gonna give her number to somebody else.
Yeah, my. It's just freaking charging.
It is wide open. Like, how did he take that first 180 degree turn wide open? He didn't hit the brake.
Like the freaking Faircross. You go to your local Faircross. There's this kid on like this old clapped out CR125 that just holds it wide open. You're like, damn. But then they just don't turn left. They just keep going straight and wide open. It reminds me of all these videos I'm seeing of, you know, those arena cross races. I think it's the kicker arena cross.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think I've seen both, the kicker and what's it, general tire now, where there's the amateur day. And, like, I suck, but I don't think I'd be doing that bad, to where, like, they're, like, grenading themselves. And there's one old video of some guy launching into the door,
yeah.
Which gets me every time. But it's, like, these guys are... just, I don't know, crazy. I brought up those memories. I was fucking dying there. But yeah, he needs something, you know, to change. And they're even talking about him last year. He looked so good. Remember that, going in the outdoors? He even led a little bit. But it's like he just can't put it all together. So
yeah, and how many years has he been on that bike? Well, right, I know he's had a couple injuries and stuff, so maybe that delays you. But still, man. Like
I know he jumped into the pros really early.
Yeah, no, and like that was a big controversy. Everybody's like, oh, that was too soon. And I'm like, man, like, it seems like it's too soon at this point. Like, here we are, like, later on, and seems like they maybe jumped the gun on that.
And then to be on the opposing side of that, it's weird now, because you got Hymus and a couple of the other amateurs where...
DeFrancesco. I saw... I'll let you finish your thought. I got something to add to that.
Where just now it seems like they're... You know how they have that whole thing with the whole pro motocross... what's it like?
Futures. Oh, yeah, where you can do a few pro races.
Yeah, like you can, if you get X amount of points, then you can,
right?
You won't be allowed to race amateurs, but until then, and where there's guys pulling off the second moto because they don't want to get their points so they can go back and race Loretta's or Minio's or whatever it is. But not even that, but like I saw that, I'm like, I guess that's kind of cool. It's kind of weird though, because if you see a kid, now he's pro, now he's not, whatever. But with Hymus, he's doing a couple rounds of supercross, but he's not. Like, his rookie season isn't going to be, like, a full-on rookie season. It's going to be like, oh, here's a couple races to get your feet wet. they'll come back, you know, get some practice in, and come back next year and make a full run at it, which I don't know. I just find it really weird. Like I'm not in that situation at all, but I can only imagine being a kid and being 17 years old or whatever. And I don't know, being really excited to just, you know, have your dream come true and race Supercross. But where's that noise coming from? There we go. I don't hear it no more. But yeah, we'll see how that goes with him, then Ryder, and hopefully this year we'll see Jet Reynolds. Like,
yeah,
well, been a while since we saw him.
I heard Anaheim 2, Brent Duff, who's Brian, or is not Brian, Hayden Deegan's mechanic right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Deegan is going to be doing futures at Anaheim 2, and then Brent Duff said it in his post that Deegan's probably going to be doing some of the East Coast Supercrowns, if not maybe even all of them. Almost like the way he hit it around, it almost sounded like Deegan might be doing all of East Coast. I'm not positive, but
it's that'd be cool to see.
Oh man, like I said, like talking about some other ones that you're excited for, like
especially like he's. I feel like he's been ready. Like he was born to race Supercross. Like seeing videos of him on his 65, and normally kids growing up they just race, you know, like the Nationals, got Loretta's Minios, and all that. You might have a little bit of Supercross at Minios, but not like that's a full on Supercross track at all. But where I see a lot of people have the narrative that the U.S. kids are racing Supercross all the time, but you really don't see them that much on a Supercross track. And that's why they're kind of sketchy. But no, but with Hayden, he's been on the Supercross track forever. Like Brian's had him on there since 65s, and seeing videos on Instagram of him doing these big doubles in the 60s and the 80s and moving up. And from what I'm seeing on the star bike, he's looking really good now. And I know he's still really young. What's he like? Is he 17?
Something like that. I don't know.
So, you know, he's up there, and I think he can do really good, and it wouldn't be a shock to have him run up front. But let's give Joey a call here.
Yeah, while you're calling him, like I said, just add another thing to the Hayden Deegan thing. I think it's really funny with him in his vlog, which I haven't actually seen it in, like, pop up on my YouTube in a while. But like with him doing his vlog, it seems like every other star guy is doing a vlog. Like
really?
Justin Cooper, I think Levi Kitchen, maybe Romano. Like I don't know. I feel like I've seen like a bunch of freaking YouTube like videos popping up out of the goat farm.
Okay, we got Joey Grown here. What's up, Joe?
Oh, just here hanging out. Miracles Max.
How's it going down there? What, day one there?
Yeah, I just got down here this morning. It's good. Just kind of got settled in and cleaned up around the house and set up to do some work down here.
Do some work and give those guys a hard time there? Give Phil and Enzo a hard time?
No, there's actually no real suspension guys set up here anymore, so just me when I come down and do a little bit of work. So
cool.
How's the weather down there?
Sadly not as warm as I had hoped, but it's warmer than home, so I guess can't complain too much. It's like 45 today or something.
Did you bring your mountain bike and stuff?
Yeah, nice. Brought that. Hopefully maybe ride it later in the week. It's supposed to rain Wednesday, so.
Well,
yeah, right.
We got your first segment kicked off for you already. Brought to you by Dean here.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I threw in the Joey Crown riding tip. I came up with my own for this for you, but you can add to it, but.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything, but Dean came up with this great tip that we just couldn't pass up.
Yeah, I was giving,
you got to mention it again.
Yeah, I was giving the riding tip for Max Volin for this week of how to get better starts in the LCQ, even though he's on a factory Red Bull KTM. That I threw out the old riding tip that Corey Slavik gave me back when I was in 80s of how to charge in the corners harder. So in order for Max to get a better start, he needs to imagine that there's a girl with big boobs in the first corner and he needs to be the first one to get to her to get her phone number. And then you just got to charge into that first corner like your life depends on it. Maybe you can get a better start in the LCQ and actually qualify for the main.
Gotcha. Yeah, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah. Don't worry. First tip like that's for free, Joey. Next one's going to cost you.
Gotcha. All right.
That's for the Joey Crown Rider Development Premium Plan.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I support that. I don't know. It's really worked for me, but I did a little bit more other, break it out a little bit more scientifically, I guess, for my program, but. If it works for you, then cool.
Well, Ezra,
we'll run with it.
Ezra added to that, and he's like, yeah, he's like, that's must be what all those amateur kids are thinking in those arena cross videos that we keep see popping up. That's must be the mentality those kids have.
Yeah, it's like they're hyped up a monster, man. They get those 12-year-olds like launching everywhere.
Been seeing lots of car injury videos from arena cross lately.
Yeah, too many guys trying to get those big boobs in the corners.
Yeah, I guess so. See the girls in the fans in the stands and getting all excited trying to show off.
That's how those guys keep jumping their bikes off the track like that.
That's what they're doing. That's like you got probably riders' girlfriends. It's just like, hey, Christian, don't look because I'm gonna be flashing at you guys when you guys are coming off the start. So just don't look. I'm gonna all the other guys. You get Plessinger looking.
Yeah,
see him wide up.
Dang, that's why Chase crashed in the whoops this week.
Man, fucking. The girls are just flashing everyone. Oh shoot! But how do I know what we're talking about before that?
Yeah, on a serious note, have you talked about the race at all, or just
boobs
and getting starts?
We're 40 minutes in, and we've been talking about the boobs for the last 38. No kidding. But yeah, we've talked about a lot. Just talked about Volin.
We talked about how well Enzo did, and obviously then we recapped the 450s too with Chase's crash and whenever Barsha taking people out. And
yeah, what do you think about that tweet that Anderson had, the Barsha and then Barsha's press conference? I saw that video you sent me on Instagram of everyone's reaction. Gotta love Eli and Cooper's reaction to that.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I tried finding the tweet, but did he take it down?
Probably.
No, I screenshotted that last night.
Oh, you did? Gotcha. Yeah, I tried looking for it this morning when I heard about it, and this morning, and I couldn't find it. But I heard that something about him calling him a bitch or whatever, which I was really confused. I feel like there's more to the story. Like Justin must have hit Anderson or did something at some point. This year, I mean, he obviously did shit to him last year a couple times, but I thought that was interesting. And then he just randomly started posting stuff and took him out and stuff. But for sure, interesting. Makes for good TV, I guess.
Yeah, no, it should make it exciting. Like my girlfriend, she's somehow missed. Like when we were watching it, she somehow missed. She missed Barsha in the main taking out Sexton, and she's like, and then later on when whoever Barsha was behind, and I was like, oh man, hopefully he passes him clean. And she's like, oh, he has a kid now, he's gonna race clean, because she'd been hearing people making that joke leading up to the season, and I'm like he just took out Sexton. She's like, oh, he did, I missed that. I was like
Sexton didn't.
Yeah, I'm like, second race into the season and Barsha has not changed at all, and same thing. Like, I thought it was a very good taste of his own medicine, too, that Anderson was able to, take out his front wheel like that, which the way he slid the rear end around, it almost looked a little bit, not intentional to me.
It almost looked like he kicked his, he didn't hit him, so then he kicked his back end out more.
Oh, okay, yeah, oh, I missed him, but I'll get him right, with this.
Yeah. I'll, keep sliding until I hit his front wheel.
It's funny, too, because, to me, that's, older style racing. When I see the guys steer with their back end of the bike like that, immediately, obviously takes me back to heyday of Supercross with Ricky and McGrath. But it also makes me think of your dad, because your dad's really good at steering with the back end of his bike like that, and you don't see that a lot of guys doing that anymore.
And Villapoto was really good at that.
The last couple times I've ridden with your dad too, obviously your dad's a good rider, but he's an amazing rider, but it's so cool to see his older technique, and just, it's always something I admire. I don't know, it's kind of cool to see how riding styles change over time.
Yeah, for sure. Everyone's kind of got their own twist of doing things.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I just watching the highlights here and Barsha taking on Sexton and stuff, man, I would hate to have to race him. Watching Roczen, when he was trying to get around him, you could tell he was worried.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, cause he's just so unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah. Well, like, even Ezra made that comment, like we're really relating to that. Ezra commented earlier too, that like how good Tomac's pass was on Webb for the lead. And same thing, like how everybody can at least, you can at least rely on Tomac passing you cleanly, and like how sharply he's been able to turn that Yamaha the last couple of seasons. And like I said, he made that pass on Webb and like almost still didn't lose like any time. Like he was, that lap time was probably almost just as fast. You know, it's probably a skosh off, but he made that like super clean pass right before like the whoop section before the finish, and like it was unbelievable. Like Ezra and I were like drooling over that.
Yeah. Yeah, like you can't, kind of caught me a little bit off guard, like seeing him shooting. Like it's kind of a weird, not a weird place, but unlikely place, I guess, to make a pass.
Yeah.
And he made it happen. He's pretty unreal right now. I didn't expect him to win. Like, I mean, he was so good at 8-1. Like, why not expect him to win? But just starting the season off winning two in a row like that, that was pretty impressive.
They said a stat this week on one of the RacerX YouTube videos. They're like that stat guy they keep pulling up. The guy's phenomenal. Like the statistics he pulls up for the racing. But he said that almost every time Eli's gotten a win, he's pretty much every time backed it up with at least a second win in his entire career. Like he's almost every win he's gotten, he's gone like back to back, like back to back, and then maybe he'll like lose one or two or something. But so that was why that was like the only thing I needed this week. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna pick him to win this week for my fantasies. Like after I heard that statistic.
Yeah, I should listen to that.
Yeah, I didn't see that one, but at least I was thinking Anderson was gonna rebound, like just how good he was last year, and then he had that crash and whatever, some crap luck at A1. I figured he was gonna bounce back here. The track was a little bit harder, a little bit more in his style, like. Yeah, and he blew it. He crashed, and he's riding okay. Like he would have been on the podium, but
yeah. He still looked really good. And I have a question for you. It's totally fine if you don't want to answer, but going back to when you're racing, who is the guy that you would be not afraid necessarily, but someone that you'd be concerned to be around, being making sure you're checking all your blind spots and. Because you know they're going to try and take you out. And who's the guy that you felt confident that they're going to race you really clean? Even going back to, you know, amateurs or any part in your career or any point, I mean.
Yeah. There's been a few over the years. Like when I was really young, I'm 60s, it's Cade Walker, which I'm pretty sure that's his name. But he, at 65, he's really fast. And man, he was dirty. Like it was crazy for a 65 rider to be actually dirty, you know? And man, I'm a little kid. I never even thought to race like that. And so I never knew what to do around him. And he hit me so many times and whatever. And then Mitchell Harrison at one point was kind of like that. And on 80s, which we happened to be both from Michigan and whatever. And after a couple of run-ins, we kind of got over it and grew out of it, but our dads had a pretty big feud that was almost got pretty bad a couple of times. But like Mitch and I are cool now. Like it was kind of this a year or two span on 85s, but and probably the worst that I can think of, which probably a few of these names people aren't even going to know who they are, but is Tanner Stack.
Oh, he Baja.
Yeah, yeah.
You got so much hate for that, even though you did nothing?
I did zero. Like, but yeah, everyone thought I took him out, which is so, made me so mad because those, him and Gross that weekend were the worst guys to race ever. Like, the track was super smooth, and whenever I would get a run on them, they would look over and cut over on me. You know, like, just going down straightaways, off jumps, like, this. Super dangerous. I mean, and then if anyone actually watched that crash, like, and then what you couldn't see before, I got a run on Tanner going up the ski jump, that step down, and he saw me coming, so he looked over and cut over to the left going off the face and to cut me off. So then I went, like, I saw it coming, so I kind of moved right, And then going down the hill, he looked over and saw me on the right. So he like went right. But like when he went right, he slowed down to like go to the inside when I thought he was committed to going to the outside. And that's because that's where I was committed to go. So he slows down and turns right as I'm fourth gear pinned, you know, like I can't stop in that period of time. So yeah, I drove right through him.
I remember that I was somewhere near there and just seeing bikes fly in the air. If you guys that are listening haven't seen that at all, you can probably search Baja Brawl, Crown Stack Crash, and I think MXPTV has a bunch of videos of it, or not a bunch, but a couple of videos of it and stuff, and a little edit to it. But it was gnarly going down. If you guys aren't too familiar with Baja Acres in Michigan, this big ski jump that is freaking high speeds, you got braking bumps there and everything. And
dude, I got a concussion there in '80s when I was like first moved up to 85s. I got head shake going down the ski jump there, and head shake and wadded up and got a concussion right there in that same spot.
That's so sketchy. Like, yeah, just watching. Like
the, it's just that high speed downhill gets a lot of braking bumps. Like, yeah,
yeah. I'm seeing some of the A class guys there growing up. I'm like, screw that.
When you're asking like who I thought like was like aggressive towards Joey, I feel like every time we ever traveled to Canada with him, that was like some of the, like the most aggressive races I feel like I've ever seen Joey in. Like, I mean, like even when he was on like Supermanis, I remember like
remember.
And then like when he got the hole in his clutch cover and stuff, like I don't know, I feel like every time we went up there was a battle.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was Jeremy Medaglia, T-Bone. Like, yeah, they didn't like the yellow plates on, you know, the B rider racing the pro guys. And
even like even that, what was it like the last time when we went up to Moto Park, even like when we were getting all the flat tires that weekend, I feel like that was even some aggressive racing when we were racing like the A class or the pro class up there or whatever.
Yeah that track was hard to pass, and yeah, some of those guys they kind of had to be aggressive there. But yeah, I had some run-ins, and another rider, I guess, recent, who I always hated racing, which drove me nuts because everyone loved this guy in Canada, was Dylan Wright. Like, I, man, I hated racing that guy. Like, he was, you know, he's a good rider, he's fast, but man, like, he's just aggressive, but he does some, like, greasy stuff, and then everyone, like, worships him, like, he's amazing, and just, like, cutting over, and it's, like, just, like, I remember the first time I raced them was at Walton, the Canadian National, and I was on a super mini racing schoolboy, the 125 class, and I got a decent start, but he got a really bad start, and, you know, I got out front, and I'm leading on a super mini, and we're going, and, like, he could have just passed me. Like, he was, you know, fat, like, on a bigger bike, it's a high-speed track, like, he's a good rider, like, he could have beat me, but he was like hitting me in the corners, and like we collided going down some straightaways and stuff, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? It's like stop, you know, weed us both up. And after the race on the podium, he's like, what do you got in that thing? Like, that thing's fast. And I'm like, and it's a 112, like, what do you got in your 125? Like, it's not that fast.
I remember
I guess know how to ride it, but
that was some good racing that weekend, and I remember I had, like, one of the original iPods, and I have a couple of videos I posted on YouTube from that race, and I know a local guy around here, Austin Dodd, was it that year he did a video of you up there? It might have been.
I don't think that year, the next year.
It might have been the next year,
because I won schoolboy that year, the next year.
But, yeah, I remember having one video of, it shows, like, the video sucked on this iPod. Where it just shows the 125 going by, and then you on the little Suzuki Super Mini, like, just keeping up there and battling with those guys and kicking most of their asses, and they're pretty much all of them. But I'll try and find that video right now. And for you guys listening that have no idea what we're talking about, in some of the videos, they're on YouTube, but I will try and get these links and get those up into our Discord. And if you go to our Instagram, the link's in the bio to that, and I'll post all the shit we're talking about during the episode, so I mean, everyone can see all the fun stuff.
I was going to say, while we're talking about it, there's another video we can pull up too. Isn't there a video of that arena crash fight, whatever, from a few years ago?
Yeah, the barn.
Oh my God. Yeah, how did I forget about that?
I can't even remember the kid's name. I can only even know what.
Yeah, it's on the tip of my tongue right now.
Oh my god! Think
of, who is it?
Is he even still racing?
No, I think he's done now. But
good, he deserves it.
I forgot about that kid.
Yeah, yeah. He used to be kind of a friend. Like we're on Team Green together, and we parked next to each other at Mineo's 1 year. And like he's a bit older than me. And then I was so out of left field. Like, I got an okay start and whatever. And it was super hard to pass. Like it's in this, like literally like this horse barn, in Asheville, North Carolina. And there's fights in there all the time. Like Garrett went up there once and got in a few fights. Like, so there's stories of people getting in fights all the time, but I'm like, I'm not very aggressive rider, like to a fault. Like I need to be a little more aggressive at times. And, anyone who knows me, like I'm pretty nice, quiet, non-confrontational person. And it's a 2-night race. And the first night, same spot. Like I got a bad start. It's like I'm trying to make my way through the pack and going over the finish line. I scrubbed on the right side of this guy and charged in the corner. Like I had the line, but he tried closing the door and I was going too fast. So I couldn't, you know, stop. Like I was already committed. I had the line and he like tried shutting the door. So I hit him like decently hard. And passed them, whatever, got done, and man, his posse wanted to fight, like, they're screaming.
Rednecks.
And like, yeah, total rednecks.
I remember talking to Alex about that was incredible, like, Alex is such, like, a chill person.
But yeah, he was just watching it all, but this, the first night, he's back at the trailer already, and I'm, like,
Nick Gaines.
Crony's, like, Nick Gaines, yes, that's who it is.
You get that video? I look at you.
I was trying to get back, and the guy's wife, I think, had a baby in her hands, and is holding the baby, yelling at me, and I'm like just trying to like get out of here. So I go to like ride out, and like she was kind of standing. I didn't see her foot, and I ran over. I ran into her foot.
You tried knocking over a lady and her baby?
Yeah,
I haven't heard that part.
Yeah. Like I kind of ran into her foot, and dude, they flipped out. You're trying to run over her, and they were getting all in, and I'm like, I'm just trying to leave. Like there's no reasoning with you guys. Like it's arena cross. It was a perfectly clean situation, whatever. And then the officials finally came over and got them, like broke them away, and they're like, and to me like are you okay? Like to me and like yeah, I'm fine. Like. And like the pass is no big deal. Like it was fine. I didn't see anything wrong with it. Like you're good. So I went back. I'm like, dang, that was a wild first night. So then, yeah. And then the second night, I don't know, I think I was in third or something, second or third or something. And yeah, I made a mistake in the whoops and Gaines passed me in the same like sweeper and then the finish line. And then like I had a really good line. I was passing people all weekend. I would carry go men around the turn and charge and scrub the finish line super hard on the right side where everyone was sitting on the left. So I did that same thing on the right side and I was like alongside of him. He jumped from the left to the right to like jump towards the corner as a right hander. And I was there. So he jumped across and landed on me essentially right next to me and shot him left. So he like launched off the track, blew the turn, and like there wasn't like he didn't hit a wall or anything. He just blew the turn, went off like towards the exit of the track, like where he went off the track, and didn't even crash. Nothing was fine. Whatever, get going racing, and I was pissed at him for doing that. I like crossing over on that. I clearly had the line, and I get on with the race. Don't think anything of it, and. I'm pulling off the track, and this big redneck dude, I think it was his buddy, the mechanic or something, like stops, like jumps in front of me, like puts his hand on my front rear plate, and starts yelling at me, and you better knock that shit off, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And then Nick pulls up behind me and drops his bike and starts screaming at me, and I'm like, and I thought we were kind of friends, and He's like, you crossed on me, like, and you're screaming at me, and he's like trying to get in my face and like fight, and then some random this guy looks like he's addicted to crack or something, skinny redneck guy. He like took a swing at me and like hit me in the side of the head, but I didn't even feel it. Like, I didn't even know until I saw the video afterwards. And it was a mess, and Alex is 10 feet behind me just watching.
He's like, I don't know. Joey's got this under control. Yeah, Joey can take care of himself. He's like, I'm just here to work on the bike.
Yeah, there's like a swarm of people, but it's a kind of a local race for him too, so he had a lot of friends there, I guess.
He had a lot of his inbred cousins there helping him.
yeah, and it was a mess, and the officials came in and broke it all up and whatever, and the same thing, like, they said, like, dude, you did nothing wrong, we saw nothing wrong with it, and that was that, so that was, I guess, the first and my last time going to race. It was pretty wild.
Was it worth the pay, that whatever the payout was?
No, I mean, it was fine. I made a few bucks, but it covered the trip and put some money in my pocket. But yeah, not worth the headache. Yeah, because those races so start dependent, and then when you try to pass, like, I never expected anything like it. I mean, you watch a rain across on TV, and guys are hitting each other and taking each other out all the time, and like.
Yeah, I mean, even just look at Cade Clayson and Jared Steinke recently.
Oh, my God.
I think arena cross is just that recipe for, like, angry passes.
Yeah, in which, in those, both of those passes I did, the riders didn't fall. And it was kind of, like, just the first one was I had the line, and the dude tried shutting the door on me, and I was going too fast. I couldn't stop. So I hit him. And then the second one, he jumped from left to right to shut the door or whatever, and I was just going a lot faster than him, so I essentially passed him in the air going straight. But, and yeah, he didn't crash. I didn't like come in a corner and T-bone him or intentionally take off. They both didn't even crash, but yeah, it was it sure did tick them off. So my arena barnyard brawl arena cross days are done.
Yeah, well, they mean like too, like a lot of that stuff too. I mean, like, shoot, give it like 5 minutes afterward and people are usually laughing about it, you know, like, it's one of those things that, like, in the moment it's like sucks, there's a lot of emotions running, but like after the fact you can usually kick back and laugh about it, you know.
Are you hearing that in your headphones?
It's still it didn't, yeah. That really didn't even play into that, like, which I was kind of surprised. Like, I mean, eventually a long ways down the line, like later that next summer, we lined up next to each other at a national, and it was like bullshit and whatever talking, but Nick Gaines and I, but at there was a big ordeal on social media because Mike Beiser got it on. I had a GoPro on.
Yeah, the video is in our Discord right now.
Yeah, I had a GoPro on, and Mike Beiser was there videoing, so we got it all the angles you could want. And so he posted it up, and you know, his crew were all like, you know, sticking up for him and whatever, and he stuck to his guns. Like, he wasn't like apologetic or anything. Like, he was mad. And I was like, dude, like, it's obvious. Like, I would have felt bad if he wouldn't have stuck to his guns, but like everyone was ripping him apart because it was clear in the video that it was not my fault. It was just kind of like a racing incident thing. And and he got ripped apart. And his mechanic, the dude, the first guy who stop me when I pulled up the track, did message me on Instagram and apologize and whatever, which was nice of him to do. I never heard anything from Nick or anything. And then at Tampa, which was the first East Coast round that year, 2020, that was my first main event. I made it. I qualified for it. We're going up to the line for the main, and I think he was somewhere around me, and he's like, are we good? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. He's like, I don't want to be getting in a tussle out there or whatever, like, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not, like, that's in the past, whatever, I'm here to race. And to be honest, I don't plan on being around him. I plan on being a little further up the order. But and then it was ironic. We ended up, I think, lining up next to each other. And then the race went on and whatever. And I don't know what he ended up. He might have got like 12th or something. And I think 8th or whatever. But yeah, it was just funny. And on the social media battle, you know, they're all hating on his crown. They're all hating on me. And like, no, I shouldn't have my Columbo ride. And he's back faster than me and whatever. All this. But yeah, so it was nice to put it to him at least the two rounds I did that year. But
right.
Yeah. Cross drama. You got to love it.
Yeah, at least we talked about it in the last podcast too. How great of a thing it is.
I felt bad for Kay this time around. This past week, he seems cool.
Yeah, no, he is, and Stanky. I don't like that guy at all.
Does anyone?
I don't like that. He's got his cronies, but it's just not a good image for the sport. And I'm a little bit clean cut to a T almost, but. And I don't see anything wrong in Cade's pass. It just Stanky didn't let off the gas, and Cade had the inside of him, and he just like he didn't even intentionally hit him. It just was whatever, a racing incident. It wasn't even like that aggressive of a pass. It just Stanky happened to just get nudged just enough to go over the berm, which I almost think if Cade wasn't there, like he was just trying to roll that turn so fast. Because Cade was coming up the inside, that I think he just rode off the track. And then you weigh a lap down and take him out like that. Like that's
like something really to you and Monster Energy Supercross 6, but not even that. Like you don't even snoop down to that level at all. And like I don't even get his comment of, well, if you're taking money off my table, I'm gonna take money off yours. It's like, well, if he would have got up, he would have made money that night. Stanky, that is, would have made money that night. Instead. He got DQ'd, and I don't know if it's because I've heard it was for throat punching Clade as well, or Cade in the tunnel. But if it was that, the takeout on Cade, or throat punching the dude, but it's like really, it's like you had some money in your pocket right there.
Yeah, and it was a heat race. Like, it's different if it was the main event. But it's a heat race, so there's no money on the line for a heat race. I mean, yeah, you got to make the name, but you could still go to the LCQ, qualify, and then, you know, then you take them out there and take money or whatever. You're like, but there's no money for a heat race. And yeah, he was probably too high to really realize the situation. And I actually had...
You had weed that night? You were high?
Sorry,
I was just trying to finish your thought.
Yeah, I had 2016, back when they had the Ricky Carmichael Road to the hospital. I mean, the Supercross. When they were doing that, the actual AMSO Arena Cross, when like Babbitts and like you know it was the legit AMA series that you had to race Arena Cross to get your points. I did. The one here in South Carolina, and in practice, I was on my slow lap, like jumping through the whoops or whatever. And this guy, Corey Green, he's a regular arena cross guy, come around the turn before the finish line. I see him on the inside of me, so I like go up high in the berm so he can like just take a lower rut past me, like I'm trying to stay out of the way. And he blew me over the berm, like it looked a lot like Cade's crash. And I like supermanned over the berm. And this is practice. And I get up, like, what the heck was that? And, like, I put my hands up in the air, like, what the heck? And then, like, he's picking up his bike, and he saw me do that. He dropped his bike and started running over to me to, like, fight me.
You were, like, 15.
And then the one of the flaggers or whatever dude, like bear hugged him, like, grabbed him and pulled him, you know, so he wouldn't fight. And I was like, what the heck happened? And then apparently I was swerving in front of him on his fast lap or something dumb. And the funny thing was, is my team manager, Ryan Holiday, had videoed the whole entire practice. And he wasn't near me at all. So He had something. He just wanted to fight. Like, I guess he got in a fight at the round before, and it was kind of a common thing for him. I think he was just looking for an excuse to.
I don't know. Maybe they just have a bad home life, you know?
Well, I mean, no, he's just a tough guy trying to pick a fight with, like, literally, you were like a kid at that time. You know, I mean, you were 17, but, like, I mean, like, you were, you know, you're.
Yeah, punch me, dude. Because yeah.
You're a full grown dude.
My girlfriend's being a bitch to me. Like, go to this next race, I'm going to take out someone.
Yeah.
And, like, all those guys, like, just that mentality they ride with is insane and makes it, you know, very entertaining for a lot of people watching, but.
Another guy that Ezra and I were talking about before we called you was Josh Osby. We were trying to figure out, like I said, I've been seeing him like repost and stuff, and I always constantly seen him coming and on everybody's like Brent Duff's post or Marshall's post. You know what I mean? Like Josh is like still out there. I was just wondering what's going on with him. I was like even telling Ezra that I feel like that's somebody we might even be able to get on the podcast like for a phone call.
He did message me and asked how I was doing, and told him, like, you know, I'm doing good, whatever, how are you doing, and then he didn't respond, but
oh, cool.
I've been meaning to call him and then check up on him, because he was there the day I crashed here at club a little over a year ago, and helped, you know, get me situated, and then get me calm or whatever, and get me off of the ambulance and helicopter and all that stuff, but and he helps with, like, you know, posting and is being he's a good dude, checking up on me and whatever. So I feel bad I haven't, you know, circled around and talked to him in a while.
I haven't heard anything. Just from, like, what I see him, like, you know, just see of him, like, online and, like, social media, like, I can still tell he's, like, in love with the sport, whether he's racing or not. Like, said I feel like he'd be, that's what I was telling Ezra, I feel like he'd be, like, a really good one. Like, he's a good dude, and said he'd just be cool to sit down, like, kind of be able to sit down and have a conversation with him if he's up for it.
Yeah, sure. I'll try to reach out to him, see what's going on,
maybe get him on. Shoot, isn't he from like Ohio or Indiana? Like, so we could almost even maybe touch base with him at like Detroit Supercross or something. If that's one of those close ones, he might be at.
Yeah, I think Indiana, I believe.
Yeah, so maybe he'd be at Detroit.
Yeah, or Indiana.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm going to Indy. Got Daytona lined up. Daytona, Detroit. I still got to get those tickets, the fly down there.
Yeah, I've been watching tickets, like plane tickets like crazy right now, trying to plan a few vacations and stuff like that. I mean, it's a fun game trying to like trying to swoop in and get the tickets when they're low.
Like, it's like, do I fly Spirit?
No, like, well, like I don't feel like I just have like the Google flight tracker, but on top of that, I just almost check Google flights like every single day. I think like Wednesdays is usually the days that they're cheapest, and then like about 3 months out ahead of time is also when you can usually get the tickets even cheaper.
I was looking at flying out Thursday night or Friday sometime, or anytime Friday really, but just the prices are insane, and Spirit was the only one, which I'm like, I don't know.
I've been trying to get tickets to Salt Lake City. I don't know, kind of a side topic, not Supercross related, but kind of. I don't know if you're planning trips to Supercross races. I've been trying to watch flights out to Salt Lake City to go mountain biking this summer, but like right now I can get tickets to Costa Rica for cheaper than I can to Salt Lake City for the weekend. I'm trying to go to Salt Lake.
That'd be cool. Isn't Calvin out there?
Yeah. So we got some like pretty good like mountain bike plans.
That'd be fun. Yeah. We're even talking about going to the Super Motocross. I hate saying that. Super Motocross World Championships at the LA Coliseum. I think that'd be really freaking cool to go to.
Unreal.
Especially the first one.
Yeah. Was it everybody's? I've had like a million people talk about driving out to Chicago for that one at the Speedway.
I forgot about that one. Yeah,
that one's kind of close.
September.
And then the first one is at ZMAX Speedway, which is like an hour or so from club. Oh. I drove by it today.
So you're saying we can come stay at your house with you down there and go to that one?
Yeah.
And go mountain biking.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind hitting up some of those trails around there too, man. Those are some really good mountain bike trails all around club. There's so many.
Yeah,
there's
quite
a few cool ones.
Heck yeah.
Well, cool. I think we got everything in that we wanted to get in. At least I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but touched on all bases.
Yeah.
get a good episode in. And I think the one last thing we need to do is make our Rocky Mountain picks, which, let me see the wild card. You're not hearing that in your headphones?
Barely.
I'm hearing like some...
A little
like
bit static? Or?
Static. It's annoying. This whole, like, last 30 minutes, it's been driving me up the wall.
My phone is dying.
There's my picks from last week. That doesn't help. Okay, so it's 5th and... Or not 5th. 12th. And so 12th is the wild card. So, I guess, yeah.
I'm like, Christian Craig. Christian Craig.
Are we laying down picks or what?
Yeah, I was just thinking, should we do the same picks for 250, even though I guess Rocky Mountain doesn't do, you know, that. If not, just like do the top three for the 250. But
yeah,
I guess if you're going to start off with the Rocky Mountain picks, Joy, if you want to start off.
Sure. I just happened to fill them out this morning, but I think the safe pick is Eli Tomac. I didn't do it this week. I wish I would have, but his starts have been so on point the past couple of rounds, or first two rounds. So, and then this is going to be a triple crown. So, starts being that good, and his sprint speed, I'm going to have to go him. And then Cooper Webb, if this was a regular round, I would have picked him. But being at the triple crown, and his starts have been a little shaky, and he's, like you saw on the main, like, it took him a bit to get going, and then he got going towards the end. Then, you know, Chase Sexton, which, I don't know, he could easily win. But I'm feeling him third, and then doing Barsha fourth, Roxen fifth, Dean Wilson in 12th right now. I'm not really sure on that.
That's what I'm looking at. I was going to pick him for 12th. I was in between him and Hill. I'm looking at the results right now, like, going back and forth. You got 14th last week.
And Hill, I didn't think of that, because I think Hill
got,
might have a little more speed than Dean.
And it seems like he's building off each week, too.
Yeah, it'll favor him for Triple Crown. I think he might lack the fitness compared to, like, Wilson, but might have the speed.
I guess I'll make mine. Like you said, I can't really argue against Tomac. I always have hope with Chase. I'll put him in number two. I know Webb's looking really good, though, so can't deny that. But I don't know. Just feel like Chase is going to be up there battling with Eli. I don't know. I was even talking to someone at my work today. Like, there's just so many guys that could win. And it's just crazy even, like, trying to, like, he was asking me for my picks this week. And I was just, I'm, like, going back and forth. I'm like, Chase, Eli, going back and forth. And shout out to Joe. He's kicking my ass in our fantasy league, but I'm gonna go with Chase in second, like I said, Cooper in third, Roxen in fourth, and Anderson in fifth. 12th place, I'll go with, I don't know, it's Hill and Wilson. I'll go with, I guess, Wilson to be different.
Give Joey a shout out. I'm winning our fantasy league right now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You're. Well, shout out to, I don't know where Joe from my.
Oh, Joe from, I thought you meant
Joe, like, from my work.
Oh, yeah, I thought you meant like Joe, like Joey.
No, Joe, who I was talking to at my work today. Oh,
well, shout out Joe from.
Okay, but not great.
Shout out Joe from Ezra's work, man.
Joe from Preferred. Where's Joe at? You're
kicking it, kicking it.
That's MCR. He's on an MCR. Yeah, Dean's kicking ass. He's at 121. He has a huge lead over Joey. So you guys are checked out. In the top two positions, and I'm 7th. Why is this loading? No, I'm 9th. I was in the wrong league.
Emma's beating you right now.
Yeah, he's Joe 7th, I think. Yeah, Emma, where's Emma? She's
doing pretty good. Like, she's been like all of her picks have been really good until like the last 2 minutes of the races. Both of them for both rounds. She's been doing really well.
Yeah, she had Adam too.
Like, it's just like a luck of the draw thing. Yeah. She almost had the wild card pick right for the last, like, for both races so far until, like, the last lap. But,
and that's one thing to talk about, too, is it seems like a lot of guys' girlfriends make way better picks than the guys like Scotty Thomas and his girlfriend at the time won
the bike,
yeah. The 450. So, yeah, she, you know, won, I mean, first overall in the whole entire league. And yeah, it's just, it seems like a story you hear all the time too. I think they just don't overthink. They see what they see, and we're just over here like, at least me, I'm just like,
we're like, well, he had Chinese food on Wednesday, so that's really gonna upset his stomach here in qualifying. But he's gonna he's gonna come around for the night show. Like, like what? That makes sense.
And trust me, guys, trust the process.
Oh, for my picks, I'll do Eli to win, Cooper Webb second, Chase third, Anderson fourth, and Barsh fifth. And then for the wild card, I was gonna go with Christian Craig.
Yeah, hopefully he gets up there, and he got, what, 11th? So he's hovering right around there.
He's been, like, so flaky and, like, not good starts, so it's a triple crown, too, so he's not going to have that time to get up there. So, like, I feel like that's really going to fluster him. So I feel like I'm trying to average out what kind of rides he could throw together for three quick races. And with crappy starts, I feel like 12th's pretty good for him.
Yeah, and then for, I guess if we're doing 250 top three, it's like, I really don't want to do the whole.
What do you mean? You know the top three. It's
going to be, it's just different orders this time, right?
Yeah, no, it's going to be Jet. Hampshire, McAdoo, and yep, in whatever order you might come up with.
Jet, Hampshire, McAdoo, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, maybe Lopes. If Lopes can get in there.
I mean, with the starts he's been getting, that's actually a good one. Because, like, with the starts he's been getting and with them being shorter races, he might be able to, like, you know, some of those guys, like Hampshire, might get a crap start in one of them and not be able to. So, like, Enzo could very easily get a podium.
That would be cool to see.
Yeah, that'd be unreal. I'd be so stoked.
Do you have any picks, Joey, that are different from our top three? The 250s.
If this was a regular round, I would pick Hampshire if he gets to start straight round. But being it's a triple crown, it's just Jet, you know, because his starts in the main have been really good. So I want to wait on Hampshire. I think Hampshire can beat Jet if he starts up there with him.
Yeah. We need to start getting you on the whole podcast, because we were talking about it earlier, exactly, when I was venting about Max Vollen and how much he pisses me off and how much, like, I feel like he doesn't deserve that ride. I think Enzo could very well take Max's spot on that 250 ride at the end of the season. Like, with how well, without Max Vollen, Red Bull KTM.
Yeah, it's a very good possibility.
Like, I feel like with the rides Enzo's been putting in, and like good qualifying, good consistent races, man, like, he needs that Red Bull kid. And like, I was telling Ezra, I'm like, you know, he was a Red Bull KTM guy when he was an amateur, so it's perfect. Be right back at home.
Yeah. Cause Red Bull Brazil, like, they supported him all the way up, even on JGR, up until I think 2020 or something, is when he had to leave Red Bull. But yeah, that is a good pick, and teams love to see speed. And he clearly has speed. So if he can stay healthy all year, like he will be on the podium at least once. But even just getting fifth, sports, and good practice times and stuff, he'll have a factory ride next year.
Right.
I'll be really shocked if he doesn't.
I mean, even like same thing. This is why we need to know the full podcast. It's funny, like screw Star Yamaha, though, for that factory ride, because Club MX bikes have been pulling whole shots for days on all the Star bikes.
Isn't that Jamie at Twisted, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jamie, yeah. I forgot his name earlier.
The starts that, like, Phil and Enzo have been getting is, like, compared to the Star Racing Yamahas is hilarious, too. That was another thing that Joey or Ezra and I talked about earlier. It was really funny to think about.
Yeah, which it's a little bit the riders, though. Like, I mean, the bike's got to be good. Don't get me wrong, but, like, it's not like they're getting starts on Justin Cooper and.
Well, no, he's on a 450. That'd be pretty hard.
Who else? Well, you know what I mean?
No, yeah. Justin, I'm Cooper, just kidding.
Yeah. Always getting starts. Like Kitchen last year, the couple rounds he did, he's not that good at starts. And Styles never has been that good at starts. So it could be more just like bad starters than anything. Like, I think it's a little bit more than that than bikes. But I mean, clearly, they're outstarting everyone else, so you got to have a decent bike to do that. But it's for sure cool to see that.
Well, cool. I'm looking forward to A2. It should be some really good racing, and you know, knock on wood, we'll actually have a race this weekend and not have another off week.
No, we should be good.
Yeah,
I think all the rain's kind of passed. I think.
Yeah. And that's a wrap. Thank you guys so much for listening to episode 42 of the Moto 247 show. Like I said earlier on in the podcast, the links for those videos that we're talking about, they are in our Discord. And if you're not too familiar with Discord, go on our Instagram at the Moto 247 show. Click that link in our bio, which is a link to Discord, our server on there. Go on there. I mean, we have a bunch of stuff that we're adding to our Discord. Just got that up this past week, so still adding plenty of things to our Discord. And right now we got some things set up on there for some Q&As. We got some guest info on there. We got the links for the videos that we talk about on there. And a lot of other cool stuff on there as well. So guys, go over there, click that, get signed up for that, and get going. And hopefully we can add some more stuff on that soon. But like I said, thank you guys so much for listening to episode 42. Stay tuned for our clips on YouTube as well. And everything pertaining to the podcast will be on our Discord and our Instagram at the Moto 247 show. Peace out, guys. See you next week. If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap, I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too. And I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool. I have that Geico theme going on, and well, rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and it looks sick, but not only that, but the quality of them is really great. And that's something I was really pumped on, actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You know, you can post your picture on Instagram and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating. And that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too, so I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And then the link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism. And I also want to give a big shout out to our newest sponsor here on the show, which is Blood Lubricants. As you guys know, it's really important to have really good oil in your bike. Be like Joey Crown, Alex Ray, Kyle Chisholm, Logan Carnow, and the whole SGB Honda team, and many more by using Blood Lubricants. Go over to their website and use code MOTO247 for 25% off on most products they have on there. Again, that's MOTO247 and all caps MOTO247 for 25% off on most products on their website. Go over there. Their link to their website is in their Instagram bio. So go over there and find them on Instagram as well at Blood Lubricants.